This is Teachers Talk Radio, and you are listening live.
Now on Teachers Talk Radio, Sophie Smith-Tong talks to Beth Ewan about what makes a dream teaching team.
This is Teachers Talk Radio, and you are listening live. Tune in live at ttradio.org, or to join in the conversation, download the Podbean app and search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TTRadio. Tune in, talk it out with Teachers Talk Radio.
In a minute, I'll be welcoming Beth Ewan into our space. Beth Ewan is currently a reception teacher. She's in her first non-ECT year, so third year in the classroom, and she also happens to be my partner teacher. We're going to discuss our partnership because we're really lucky, and also I think there are many things at play, but we're lucky that we're teacher besties. You know them well, and it has been a successful partnership so far. We're in our second year together, and we thought it would be nice to discuss why we feel it's been so successful. Welcome, Beth. We did it.
Thank you. Yes, we are. We're here.
I have to say, actually, that the first thing that works in our partnership is that we fill in each other's weaknesses. And one thing that is not a strength of mine is tech. Beth, can you describe what quite often happens when you hear your phone ring on your desk?
So it's about 1 minute past nine, and I can see reception blue is calling. I think, oh my goodness, what is going on here? Hi, Miss Ewing, can you come and turn my board on? It's not working. So, teacher
usually
off to your own.
It's the old turn it on and off again.
I literally just one little button, and then I get a round of applause from your children.
Yeah. And actually now they've come to know that if Miss Smith-Tong is having problems with the board, just call Miss Ewan. She'll know what to do.
Yeah, I'm always there,
So I made a list of 10 reasons that I think we've managed to develop a highly effective working relationship, I think. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I have had another partner teacher, and it just really works. That's like all I can really say. We just tick all the boxes, the yin to yang. It's pretty easy.
So the first thing that I thought of over the past 18 months that we've gotten to know each other's strengths, like I talked a bit about weaknesses, but like areas of development. So what would you say they are, like for both of us? What are our strengths, and what are we, how do we kind of come as one because of that?
I think as we like started off, we kind of realized what our main goals for the classroom are and our work ethics. Like, we just want joy, play and happiness for those children in our room. And we work together to get those goals. We have the same way that we want to work together to get those goals for the children. So having those same kind of principles is a massive
Ethos is so important, isn't it, when you're working together. Do you think that partnerships can work when you have completely different ethos, or even slightly different?
Yeah, definitely. And I have experienced that. And I think you kind of have to tread lightly to get your ethos across, but you also have to accept others in, and it's just that kind of balance. And it's harder. It's not as easy. PPA is not as easy when there's that bit of friction there.
But it's funny, I think in the beginning, just thinking back to when we were first getting used to planning together, because what you don't want is like this echo chamber of yes, yes, yes. Because that's not just because you're saying yes to each other doesn't mean like you develop as individual teachers, does it? I was thinking about it took some time for us to understand. Like, there were things that you said, obviously, because I'm known as the challenger. I challenge everything, don't I, Beth? It's a bit annoying. But like, just getting to know me going, oh, well, why are we doing that? And you saying, but I don't really like it that way. And why do you do it that way?
Or, yeah, totally.
And a bit prickly sometimes.
Yeah, it can be. And I think now that's kind of, it's just second nature. And I really value being questioned, because it's also helping my practice to kind of prove why we're doing something. It was really hard at the beginning. We're navigating how you work and how I work, and then we're just trying to meet in the middle. And I think it's a lot of patience and being honest with each other. I think we were very honest.
Yeah. I was just saying the other day, wasn't I, about that one time I probably moaned a bit too much about the things that I was expected to do when I started at the new job. And Beth was just like, is there anything that you do want to do? And I just like had so much respect that she just picked me up on it straight away. Like, you know, this isn't going to work if you're continuously putting up barriers. And like the kind of being honest is as important as being able to receive like that constructive criticism as well.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And I think like sharing ideas as well. Like sometimes if you don't agree on an idea that I have, but then working away together to create a new one. That's definitely like was a massive turning point, I think, for us. I also think kind of a strength of ours is there is 10 years age difference between us. We're in both different parts of our different stages of our careers.
Yeah.
And so you've got so much wisdom, and then maybe from my training brought some new ideas. So I think that's a massive benefit for us.
Yeah, definitely. Like, kept me fresh and introduced me to practitioners that were new to the scene. I'm kind of bringing the ones that are kind of been around for a while, and that's great. But like also having these fresh ideas that have questioned my practice and stopped it going stale. I think that's really nice to have that balance of experience, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, yeah, I just feel like I've learned so much. So always very grateful.
Me too. Yay. The second thing I thought of was like venting, because we know as teachers, venting is, it can be toxic, but it's also a really important part of kind of looking after your well-being, because sometimes stuff, like you try to manage stuff and you try to be calm and be mindful, but sometimes it just gets to you and tips you over the edge, and you need to be able to vent, don't you?
Yeah, like, 100%.
How do we kind of work that so that it's not, I don't know, I feel like sometimes that you might not be in the space to hear me vent, and I might not be in the space to hear you vent. Like, how do you think we manage that?
Yeah, I do think there are times where we're kind of not venting together. But I think it's just acknowledging that, oh, that is how you're feeling. I am your friend as well, and I want to give you that space. But also then maybe not feeding into the vent as much and giving you that kind of other point of view.
Yeah, that's so true.
Kind of like helping each other kind of get out of the cloud of doom, but then and like encouraging that. But then, yeah, just trying to give it a little level point of view, I guess.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I think the idea of toxicity comes when, you know, perhaps there's too many people in that negative space and it just spirals. Whereas having that balance, I mean, there are not to say there are times where we both vent and we're both in that negative space. I mean, as well as everything else, you can tell by mine and Beth's voices that we've shared viruses and are like full of snot and coughing. But most of the time we kind of balance each other out, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're also very lucky. We live on the same road as well, so we walk to school together. We've got a lot of time. In the mornings or after school to kind of give each other that space to either let go of the day or discuss new challenges that are coming. But yeah.
Have you got a cup of tea, by the way, Beth?
I haven't. I was kind of giving the person who I live with a bit of a shove to go make me one. So
I think he will.
He's heading that direction now, so fingers crossed.
Good.
A sleepy tea is on the way.
Yeah, I've got my nighttime tea.
Like always, yeah.
I hope everyone's got their tea and relaxing on this Wednesday night. I was thinking about planning, and the third thing that I came up with was sharing, because we talked about sharing ideas and, you know, being able to, I don't know, listen to each other's ideas, compromise, meet in the middle, but also be challenged and try new things that perhaps you've tried and didn't like before, or that you think that you don't like. And I've worked in so many settings where teachers can get very wary of sharing good ideas and resources. Have you ever come across that? Or is that just me?
No, not really. But in a way, kind of I think I maybe sort of like in awe of you when you had all of these ideas. And kind of,
I really want to know what these ideas are, by the way, because I mean,
no, but you, I would obviously sit and do the maths planning, and you'd be like, oh, we could do it like this. And I was like, how has she just plucked that out there when I've been staring at the page for a good 10 minutes? But again, I think that's what, like, coming back to you being an experienced teacher,
yeah,
and valuing that and not seeing it as a threat. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think the threat is the main thing here, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like being able to think, well, you know, what is the worst that's going to happen by me sharing this idea? And what is the worst that's going to happen for trying out something that maybe you're not kind of aware of or have tried and didn't, you know, didn't believe in?
And I think it comes down to like your nature as well, like how you are as a person. Like, you're a very warm person.
So yeah,
it's always a safe space that was created. Although I might have felt like, oh my goodness, there's this competition of like, oh, I've got to match that good idea.
I mean, I actually, talking about that, I can think of moments where both of us have kind of seen something that the other person is doing and gone, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what is that?
Yeah.
Should I be doing that? This? And why does that look better than me, than mine? Yeah. Oh, actually, one of them is a certain literacy scheme that we used, and we have to draw pictures, and it's become quite the competition between both of us that when we walk in and we see each other's illustrations that we've drawn on the whiteboard, yours is better than mine, or
how did you know how to do that?
Yeah, where did you get that drawing skill?
Have you practiced that before?
You must have practiced that.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of competition sometimes, but healthy, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And again, it's just like, wanting to learn from that as well. Also a positive.
We could do some drawing lessons.
Thank you, because I'm the one who needs them.
Well, you think that, don't you? Think that, yeah. Okay, so I am gonna, we're gonna catch up on some news now, Beth.
Yep.
We're gonna catch up on some news. We're gonna take a little break. Maybe you can go and get that cup of tea.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I can hear the kettle getting boiled, so I'll join you with Heather in a minute.
I've considered myself to be a caring head teacher who acts sensitively to support staff mental health. But what I found increasingly difficult was managing the negative impact on staff mental health when resolving issues related to their employment or daily work. Heartfelt Leadership has been developed by TeachWell Toolkit as a handbook to support headteachers to overcome the challenges of school improvement while supporting staff well-being. We know that difficult conversations can quickly turn into conflict if procedures are not fully transparent, understood, and followed. Our handbook takes you through step-by-step processes while maintaining mutual respect, avoiding conflict, and finding solutions.
At Bloomsbury Education, we're passionate about supporting teachers with high-quality professional development books from leading experts. Whether you're navigating your first crucial years as an early career teacher or a more experienced teacher looking to refresh your practice or take a step up into leadership, our award-winning books are here to help. We publish practical books to support teaching across primary and secondary, from the very best in research-led practice to trusted advice on inclusivity, behaviour and curriculum design. Visit the Bloomsbury Education website at bloomsbury.com/education to find out more and use code BLOOMTTR24 to save 20% on all education titles. Bloomsbury Education, books for every step of your teaching journey.
This is Teachers Talk Radio News with John Gibbs. The first story this week is once again Ofsted. Following last week's news that, contrary to advice from the cross-party committee in the House of Commons, the government would persist with single-word assessments of schools. This week, Ofsted Chief Sir Martin Oliver announced that he would like Ofsted inspections to feel more like a peer review. At the Schools and Academies show on the 2nd of May, Sir Martin indicated that Ofsted had embarked on a reform journey, and he further noted that he wanted Ofsted inspections to feel like, in some ways, a peer review system. While Ofsted and Sir Martin have launched the Big Listen consultation, A group of former Ofsted inspectors, academics, experienced teachers and head teachers, led by Professor Colin Richards and Frank Norris MBE, have launched the Alternative Big Listener. They've set up their own website and are accepting responses and views from across the education world. The 50% rule in English faith school admissions, introduced in 2010, stipulating that where newly established academies with a religious character are oversubscribed, at least 50% of their places would be open places, i.e. allocated without reference to faith, is to be scrapped in plans announced by the government. The government also plans to allow churches and religious groups to open faith-based schools for children with special educational needs, which campaigners warned could raise ethical issues. Proposals to scrap the 50% cap, which only applies when schools have more applicants than places, are opposed by Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, on the grounds that it would be divisive and likely to penalise disadvantaged children by denying them access to local schools. While the government believes that faith-based schools give parents greater choice, encourage better behaviour, and also academic outcomes, Andrew Copston, the chief executive of Humanist UK, is quoted as saying, "The proposal to allow 100% religious discrimination in new state faith schools will increase religious and racial segregation." Teaching assistants are again in the news this week. While recent stories of their declining numbers, their stagnating pay, have been regular features of the news, this week, a survey reported in Secondary Education News involving 6,000 teaching assistants in England, Wales, found that 39% are covering classes for at least 5 hours a week. A further 15% say they are leading full classes for at least 11 hours a week. National guidance states that support staff should not actively teach any classes they cover. But 75% of the teaching assistants said they have ended up teaching rather than supervising. Astrea Academy Trust, which controls 26 schools in the Yorkshire and Cambridgeshire area, is seeking to hire a new executive head teacher on a salary between £116,000 and £133,000 a year. These salaries might seem generous in the light that the St Ivo Academy, a secondary school in St Ives and run by the Trust, is making cuts for classroom resources, but it should also be placed in the light that the new executive principal position comes with three layers of management above it. Above the new executive principal would be Secondary Regional Director for Cambridgeshire, Jo Mayhill Johnson. Above her, in the Trust's hierarchy, sits Richard Tutt, its Director for Secondary Education, and above him, Rowena Hackwood, Astrea's Chief Executive. And the number of Astrea's employees paid at least £100,000 a year has increased from 7 to 10 from 2022 to 2023. It is reported that Ofqual have warned that exam results, GCSE and A-level, will be down this year. This will be the result of the return to pre-pandemic conditions, meaning candidates had no prior warning of what might be coming up in the exams, and the lost learning that resulted from the COVID pandemic. In an interview in Education Week, the statistician Dennis Sherwood once again stated his view that A-level and GCSE grades are only reliable to one grade either way. If you wish to listen to interviews with Dennis Sherwood, you can find them in the Teachers Talk Radio back catalogue, or follow many of these news items on the weekly review on Sunday mornings. This has been your Teachers Talk Radio news with John Gibbs. Thank you for listening.
This is Teachers Talk Radio, and you are listening live.
Beth?
Hello.
What's your favourite biscuit?
Oh, so tough. I am going to go for Bourbon.
I never knew that. That is my favourite biscuit?
No. Maybe I subconsciously said that. Yeah. No joking.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe we've never even had a packet of Bourbons together. Actually, no, I can't eat them, can I?
No,
that's
exactly,
why.
Exactly.
I am gluten-free and it makes mine and Beth's relationship very tricky.
Yep.
We always have, when we go out for lunch, we have to check the menu. Because not only am I gluten-free, but I'm vegetarian. I'm just very difficult. Oh, that reminds me, actually, we played a game once, Beth. I loved this game. You got a multi-pack of chocolate eggs at Easter or something. Maybe not even at Easter, I can't remember. And there were like different ones, different named eggs.
Yeah,
and you guessed. Yeah, you guessed which ones would be my favourite, my least favourite, and you got it all right, and it blew my mind.
I really, really listen at snack time.
That is one tip for every pair of teachers out there. Listen, take in the snack advice.
Yeah.
Do a snack run every now and then.
Yeah. Well, this also is just when you're low. Know how to pick you up a little bit, run to the shops, get a Diet Coke.
Yeah, food and coffee. Totally.
Sugary chocolate things.
And me and Beth have a coffee rota. So we have, because it was getting a bit ridiculous, so we were getting coffees every day, we now limit ourselves to Mondays and Fridays, and we take turns, and we've written down, because we always forget whose turn. So I really want to make like a spreadsheet or something, or a graph out of our coffee consumption over the last 2 years. It would be very interesting to see. For us anyway, not for anyone else.
What month has the most?
What? Yeah. Oh, like, the peaks. Where do you think the peaks would be? The pinch points.
Yeah.
The coffee pinch points.
I also love it when we look at each other in the lunchroom, and even though it's not a coffee day,
we just know.
Say, should we go get a coffee?
And when if it's ever happened that the other one said, oh, the other one just starts, they're going to cry.
Yeah, please.
Actually, I don't think you've ever done that to me. You've always said yes.
That's me.
Yeah. She's a yes gal.
Can you eat a biscuit now?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what is
I'm eating gluten-free custard creams.
Oh, nice.
Good one for the staff room. That's a good pointer as well. Always get gluten-free snacks for the staff room, people, because I miss out. Yeah. I miss out. Although, actually, they're getting really good.
They are getting good.
My other point, my next point that I came up with, communication.
Yeah.
We talk a lot, don't we?
We do, yeah. Again, we've got that extra 20 minutes at the end of and the beginning of each day, which obviously really, really helps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the start, there's obviously a lot of communication on WhatsApp about work, but that seems to kind of filtered out now.
And
I guess that's as our relationship has developed. We're talking less about work and more about us as humans.
Yes.
But yeah, communication, I think, is definitely a strong point for us.
Yeah. But yeah, we do chat.
Yeah. But I think it's also when maybe we're not feeling at our best, we've learned to communicate. Whereas at the beginning, I know for myself, I didn't communicate to you.
Yeah. Well, you did, just in a different way. And I got to know that way too.
Yeah. And then just knowing that I can talk to you.
Yeah.
When I'm not feeling,
how important is space, though, with stuff like that?
Yeah, I think it is important. But I think it's also letting you know that I need the space, and now I think you recognize when I need the space as well, because otherwise whenever you might have needed it, I'd be like, oh god, that's me, what have I done? It must be me.
That is so true. You do like to take responsibility for all the things that have gone wrong. Which I'm fine with, by the way. I'll let you have that.
Okay, I'll sweep them up.
Yeah But I think, like, you know, another one of my points, but I think it's a good point to bring it in now. It was further down the line, but I'm gonna bump it up, because I think this is actually vital. And actually, I thought I wanted to do this actually in the beginning when everything was going to pot and I couldn't get you in. And I just wanted to laugh.
Oh,
humour.
Favourite thing.
A big part of our relationship, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really is. But we especially laugh a when lot. That delirium kicks in.
Yeah.
And all you can do is laugh.
When you've had the big O visit, you just got to laugh it off.
Yeah.
Laugh, laugh, laugh. Although I don't know if we did laugh then, did we? Maybe afterwards.
Yeah.
Not sure. But there has been some times where we, have literally not been able to speak from laughing. And those have usually been at points where it's either been very tense at work or a lot going on.
Yeah. That's it. It's like when you're overwhelmed and you just don't even know where, what post-it note to start with, to tick off.
Yeah.
You're like, the post-it notes. Oh, no, that, yeah.
How much did the post-it notes annoy you when you first met me? Because you went into a post-it note when I met you.
This is actually something that I was thinking about.
Okay, go on.
Just like, how does this person work? That is just so overwhelming. The diary, the desk is covered in post-it notes.
Yeah.
But it's just,
I was
so
actually told on a course once that, because my bedroom was covered in post-it notes, because that was where I did some work. And my mindfulness tutor said, bringing that into your space where you should find comfort is not good for your mental health.
That is
and
so
I was like,
neat,
oh, that is so true. But I feel like post-its give me joy, you know?
Yeah, they do. But when you lose one,
it's bad.
And good job, I've just got it stored up in my brain. That's where all my post-it notes are, in there.
And that is why you forget things.
Not so many.
Not as much, though, actually. Do you have like a to-do list?
I try the post-it notes at the beginning of the week, and then they just, obviously, I just lose them. So I just rely on them.
But how do you know what you need to do, Beth?
Well, I have
not thought about this before.
No, I have my diary.
Has it got a list in it?
Yeah, little ones. Honestly, it just overwhelms me if I write it down. But I don't think I forget too many things. It's just the way that I work.
I've never even thought about that. God, that gives me anxiety a little bit.
But that PPA session when you were rushing around getting as many things done as possible,
God.
I thought, oh, my word.
Yeah, I have two modes that Beth has had to come to terms with. One mode is I can't do this sloth mode, where I just go into meltdown and just put my head on the desk, and then I've got like robot, I'm efficient, I'm getting this job done. And Beth doesn't like that mode. You don't like it, do you?
It scares me a bit.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I'll just take a step back here.
That's it, isn't it? It's about dynamics.
Yeah. And learning about each other's dynamics.
Yeah. Yeah, like I know if I've got to tone that down, because that's getting too much for her. I'm being too efficient right now. Sometimes the efficient bit, though, actually really works in your favour.
Oh, obviously, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, although I was pretty annoyed last week when I was extra efficient and did the job on the day I was given it. And then you came to do the job a week later and my work had been lost. So then I had to do it again. But I took a deep breath. I was fine.
Yeah, you did some mindfulness. Well done.
Yeah, I did. So we do a lot of talking and a lot of laughing.
Yeah.
And we've touched upon this a little bit, but the next one was sharing without judgment. But I do think we've had to work at that. I'm not saying I ever judged you, but I feel like we both felt judged, even if we weren't judging each other. Because we didn't really
definitely.
Know each other.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? You're not my safety net at that time.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be, I think, that element of judgment. And it's when you break down those barriers. And I know Sophie, not Miss Smithton. I think that really
matters. And it's hard being open and vulnerable. And then it's hard being creative together, actually. I feel like, I mean, it's not so hard now, but to begin with, I feel like you have to put yourself out there and have ideas turned down, and that's really hard.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard to hear that someone doesn't like your idea. That hurts.
Yeah, How can you not?
Can you think of an idea that I've not liked of yours that's hurt your feelings?
Oh, that's really...
I was trying to think if I ever... You didn't like... Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say you didn't like it when I didn't want to do the job that I didn't want to do, but that's not really an idea. I do feel like in the beginning, because I was so used to working in a one-form entry, that I perhaps would do things and then maybe not tell you the idea, but it was never on purpose. It was just that I'd forget that I was in a partnership.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to adjust to, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's when I would probably peek round the corner and be like, oh, why are we all doing a different activity? We didn't plan for this.
Yeah. But now we do that, don't we? Like we will do some different things based on our cohorts.
Yeah, and I think we're very good at like just vocalising that as well now.
We have.
That's an insecurity for both of us. So we'll just be like, well, I'm going to do this, by the way.
That is true. We've noted.
And that's okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's living and learning, Beth. We're learning as we go. It's constant development.
Yeah.
Reading the room.
Indeed.
Mm. And then the other one, of course, like I've talked about the venting. And then on the other side, it's like celebrating the wins. I feel like if I achieve something, even if it's small, for example, the other day I was doing the staff rota, which is a task I find so hard. Like, honestly, my strength is not problem solving, and I completed it without the usual struggle, and you celebrated that win. Not in a patronising way, you just went, you did that really well then. And
Smashed it.
I did, didn't I?
I was shocked at how quickly you did it in. All done. Yeah.
And I feel like you're much better at that than I am. I think actually that's going on my to-do list. I need to get better at, because you like leave me post-its and you go, oh, you smashed it today, well done, or you're doing a great job.
Yeah, well, I just think like as teachers, it's so hard. There's no judgment, but SLT, they find it really hard to find those times to celebrate our hard work.
Yeah.
So it's so important to just let each other know that you're absolutely rocking it, and it's also really nice if like the children see that I'm proud of you as well. Like they love that, they love reading the notes that we give each other,
the post-its.
Yeah, it's a nice celebration, like keep going.
Yeah,
like a diamond is my favorite, and I love that you stuck it on your wall.
I'm collecting them on my wall, they do look lovely, and you've got none. I have got some,
but yeah, get your pen out and your post-its. You've got an excuse, really.
So there we go. There's a good tip. Post-its, pens, write each other messages. And we always get the children to deliver them, because then we read them to the children. And it's almost like parenting, isn't it? When they see you working as team, it feels like a connection has been made between all the children and all the adults. It's like a really loving family home.
It is. Oh, my goodness. What did that one child say to you the other day?
What did she say?
Miss Ewan gets you to do everything. You do everything for Miss Ewan.
Oh yeah, I can't remember what it was. You sent me to do a job. What was it? And as I walked past, I know. I was going to snip some lavender for the Play-Doh, and you asked me to get a certain amount, obviously for the maths for the children, get me 12 pieces. They didn't realise it was the learning, and they thought you were being very specific and demanding of me. And they said, Miss Ewan always gets you to do things for her. I was like, really? It's the other way around.
I did speak to that child as well.
Just so you know.
I did speak to Mrs. Tom too.
The tech.
Partnership. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Amazing. So we covered humour, which was my next one. I bumped it up, bumped it right up. In fact, I'm putting that at number one. Humour's up the top.
And then
number eight, I've put allowing in the sadness and the tears.
They do come. We have a good time, but eventually they arrive.
They do, don't they?
Yeah. My favourite catchphrase of yours when I'm feeling sad is...
Oh, God.
No. It's a good one. It will pass. It will pass.
I always worry about saying that, though, because I feel like that annoys me sometimes when people say that, because I'm like, well, it's not past, is it? I'm right here and it's going on for me right now.
I really value it, especially now, like if you think about all the mindfulness training we do.
Yeah,
you understand it, don't you? You understand what that actually means. It's not here forever, although it feels like it.
That's it. Teaching is so up and down, isn't it? That's what kind of what I love and hate about the job. It's unpredictable and it's flexible, and it's, I say flexible in certain ways, but you don't really know what's coming one moment to the next, especially when you work in an early years classroom. I mean,
oh yeah,
we have got many a tale. That's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
Allowing for that sadness and being there for each other and knowing whether it's the space or the chat or the post-it note or the coffee that you need to move forward from it. And sometimes I feel like the sadness can come and go really quickly. And then other times it's stuck around for maybe a week or two. And it's just like we're stuck in a rut and the other one's just guiding the other one through.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, it's just like picking up those things that in that moment you feel are just so tough and so hard to do.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're on the other end, they're so much easier and you're willing to do that for me, which I really appreciate. Just being attuning to each other, how we're feeling and what really will push us over the edge.
Exactly. Well, with that in mind, I'm going to move to some ads. So we'll go and grab another cup of tea or a bourbon biscuit and we'll be back in a minute.
Bye.
I've always considered myself to be a caring head teacher who acts sensitively to support staff mental health. But what I found increasingly difficult was managing the negative impact on staff mental health when resolving issues related to their employment or daily work. Heartfelt Leadership has been developed by TeachWell Toolkit as a handbook to support head teachers to overcome the challenges of school improvement while supporting staff well-being. We know that difficult conversations can quickly turn into conflict if procedures are not fully transparent, understood, and followed. Our handbook takes you through step-by-step processes while maintaining mutual respect, avoiding conflict, and finding solutions.
At Bloomsbury Education, we're passionate about supporting teachers with high-quality professional development books from leading experts. Whether you're navigating your first crucial years as an early career teacher or a more experienced teacher looking to refresh your practice or take a step up into leadership, our award-winning books are here to help. We publish practical books to support teaching across primary and secondary, from the very best in research-led practice to trusted advice on inclusivity, behaviour and curriculum design. Visit the Bloomsbury Education website at bloomsbury.com/education to find out more and use code BLOOMTTR24 to save 20% on all education titles. Bloomsbury Education, books for every step of your teaching journey.
This is
Hello, Beth. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
I just thought of something that happened at lunchtime today that I wanted to share.
Oh, yeah.
A teacher partner moment. We were sitting having lunch and Beth was stressing out.
I was a bit stressed beforehand because you were about 20 minutes late. I rang you and texted you and said, why are you not here? I've not gone out for a coffee. Please come back.
I love that. So I was late to the staff room. This is the thing, we've become part of a pattern now of the day. We know how the day goes. We meet, like we either mention to each other on our way out, we're getting a coffee, or we just find each other in the staff room ASAP. And then when one of us isn't in there, the question that I ask all the staff is, where's Beth? Is anyone seen Beth? Where's Beth? Do you know where she's gone? And I wasn't in there today. Where was I? I was doing what I was doing. Oh, I was doing some work in my classroom.
Oh, no.
We don't do that, do we?
We don't. We're very good at not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We value
that's another thing, because when you, like, you don't have much time where you're not teacher. And so you have to make the most of the moments where you can be Beth and Sophie together. And we're lucky because we have the walk there and back because we live on the same road. But if you don't have that, there's no other time to talk about you stuff, is there? It's just teacher stuff all day long. How are you expected to connect and get on if you don't know anything about each other and you don't have that time to laugh and talk about other things?
Exactly. And actually, before I came on, I was looking through our WhatsApp pictures. And actually, the change from so early on from things about work to just us is so nice. Like, and then
Oh.
pictures of your family are coming through, my family, we're sharing that together.
Oh, it's like a little photo journey.
Yeah.
What was the first photo that you found?
Oh, let's quickly. Well, obviously, I was in your coat for some reason because I've probably not been prepared and I didn't bring a raincoat. That was nearly.
That sounds unlike you because you're quite good like that.
Oh, my
You're very
goodness.
forest schooly, aren't you? You have
A
good,
little bit.
you have wellies and I don't
Oh, yeah,
become
you don't have
really
any wellies. The
prepared.
first picture, hilariously, is of a cupboard that you tied in. Which
That
also
just for
sums up
anyone
our
that has no
relationship.
idea who I
Yeah.
am, that is who I am. The first job that I did when I got to this school was clear up a cupboard. I'm a bit of, I like a bit of organisation, don't I, Beth?
You do, and I really value that because my cupboard was not in a great state a few weeks ago, and I just couldn't face doing it. And you were so kind, and you gave up your time
I
and
did.
sorted it all out.
A
So
little bit reluctantly, but I did do it, didn't I?
you were in one of those modes where I could not get involved. The robot was
You just
out.
left me to it, yeah. The robot has
Yeah.
to come out for that, definitely.
Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you earlier. Go back.
Oh no, that's fine. So this, I was so, like, yeah. So I was late to the staff room, 20 minutes late, and Beth was stressed because I was late, and she couldn't find her bag, her lunch tote bag that she brings. It is for your lunch, isn't it? You have your lunch box in there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'd finished her lunch, put in her lunch box away. Where's my bag? And I just turned to her and I said, "Are you sitting on it?" And it's not that I'd seen it. I didn't know. I just
Yeah.
knew that she would
You
be
just said,
sitting on
yeah.
her bag. And everyone could not believe that I'd managed to guess where it was just like that without knowing anything. I just know her so well.
You
She must
do.
have
Oh,
sitting on the thing.
we're also
And there
weirdly
it
in
was.
sync because
Yeah.
we drink the same amount of water each day.
This is true. We
It's
have the
a
same
really
water
weird.
bottles because when I met Beth, I ordered the same one. I don't know why. That, well, did you
We're
think that
not
was a
weird
bit
like that.
weird?
No, I thought, oh, I'm such a trendsetter.
Was expensive, actually, Beth.
It's
And
worth it.
we bought the same water bottles, but now, and it's really weird, every time
Yeah.
we come into lunch, we have drunk the same amount of water.
Yeah, spooky.
Very weird. It's very different every day. It's not like we're hitting the same
No.
mark every day.
No. No one else can believe it as well.
I know, it is shocking. It is shocking. I mean, we literally just lost a listener for that. Oh no, they've come back.
Oh, thank you. So sorry. No more anecdotes.
Whole thing's anecdotes. Good luck.
I
Leave now. Right, so I've put reasoning as one. This is a bit weird, actually. But I was thinking about the whole you calling me out on my moaning about things, my cynicism, and you just going being like, no, is there anything else you don't want to do, Sophie? And then I just gained loads of respect for you. Can you think of like other examples where like finding reason in our experiences has helped us to develop a good partnership?
I think it also goes back to, I mean, this is a bit like what I said earlier, but just like acknowledging that we just work in different ways as well. Yeah,
Yeah,
and
we're not trying to
actually,
be like each other anymore.
no, and I think just knowing that when you were acting like a machine and getting everything done, I was thinking, oh my goodness, why can't I do that? But
Right.
just not, yeah. Just
We
thinking
haven't
it's
got to be like
okay.
each other.
No, it's okay. I know that I don't work like that, but I do get things done my own way. I
Oh,
think
you
that was,
totally
yeah,
do.
just like a, yeah, the big difference for us, I guess.
Yeah.
But
And I
yeah,
guess the
such
humour
a,
comes into that as well, right? Because
yeah.
we do take the mick
Again,
out of each
that's
other.
me calling, but yeah, me calling you out on that as well. And then you
Yeah.
saying, oh, you've not brought your diary to briefing or whatever like that. It's all up in here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I still can't get over that you don't really have a proper list. Like, how have I not known that? I've learned two things about you just tonight, Bourbon biscuits, which I can't get over, and then, yeah, that you don't really have a list, which I've not thought about, and I don't know why I haven't noticed it before.
No, I never do. Well, I'm glad you know now.
Yeah. How's your desk doing, by the way? Is it organised?
Oh, it's beautiful. So good. That's one thing that you have taught me as well. Another thing that you've taught me, sorry.
Mm.
A tidy desk is a tidier mind, I think.
Yeah. It does look better.
It does look really good.
On that note, the last one that I put in, number 10, I think we've done 10 points at least. When I listen back, it might not be 10, but we'll see. I'm not going to listen back, am I? We can have this exact conversation tomorrow. But anyway, we make each other productive. We get more done when we work together. There's something about like that PPA room that allows us to balance each other out, whatever that is.
Well, I think, again, it just comes down to knowing what we both excel at.
Yes, like we don't try to muddle through something that we're not good at.
And again, that comes down to us being honest with each other, like, oh, I really don't want to do that. And I know that you don't mind doing that. So it really works.
What's your favourite thing, Beth, that you do? What's your favourite job?
Oh, favourite job. Actually, it used to be I didn't mind doing like the groups. For like the reading groups, like working out where everyone goes.
Oh, which God.
I know that you would hate that.
It honestly makes me nauseous. Like just the idea of having to sort, like, isn't that weird though? This stresses me out because I love organizing like physical things, but like when it's on paper and I can't move it, like I can't move the names of the children around. Maybe if I printed them out, cut them out and then moved them around, I'd be able to do it.
No one's got time for that.
No one's got time to do anything, have we, really? You know.
Absolutely. But yeah, no, I like that problem solving.
But you don't do that anymore.
I know, I do miss it. Well, no, I was just thinking of my other job, which obviously I really do dislike, but I do it anyway because I can't imagine you doing it. So I take it off.
What is it?
Planning the phonics.
I feel like you've got to give me that job and just see what happens.
Well, now that I know that we're together again next year.
Yeah, that's it.
I might hand over.
We're going to switch some jobs. Because actually, it's quite important, isn't it? Sorry, I'm just going to have a... This is my first cough of the evening, which I think is pretty amazing because we've been coughing all day today.
Really good.
Excuse me, everybody. I'm going to have a sip of my nighttime tea. So... It's really important that you don't become stuck in a rut as a teacher partnership as well. There's that balance, isn't there? Because things become stale. Like I will never get good at planning phonics if I never do it.
Yeah.
So it's knowing when to hand it over and go, actually, I'm ready to learn now. But that's reading where we're at, isn't it? Because sometimes we just haven't got it. Like I just haven't got the energy or the capacity to learn something new. And then other times I do.
And I guess it's the whole fresh start, new year, new me that we'll have. So that will help us.
Switch everything up again.
Yep. Yeah, get out of the comfort zone.
Yeah, totally.
In the learning zone.
Is your mum listening tonight, Beth?
Oh, no, it's way too late for her.
She's in bed.
For the record. Yeah.
Have you got your PJs on?
Sort of, yes. Not. Got my big jumper on.
Okay.
And my PJ bottoms.
So everyone needs to get to bed after this early start in the morning.
Oh, I know. That's also another favourite thing we do. We text each other in the morning what time we're going to meet.
Yeah. Actually, this is a question I genuinely have. At what point do you text me? Because I'm doing all the texting at the moment. Is it because you're not up or is it because you're relying on me texting you in the morning?
Oh, I just thought that maybe we were in sync because we've been quite similar times for like 2 weeks.
Late.
Listening to our bodies.
Listening to our bodies.
Our mental health.
Yeah. We have been ill as well, to be fair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're not normally this croaky.
We're doing a late tomorrow though, right?
Absolutely. And it's half a PPA day each, which is sad.
PPA tomorrow. Oh, yeah, we're not together. This is another thing, actually, because there's so many more points I need to add. But, like, from an SLT point of view, I think, like, partner teachers really need to be thought about and considered. Like, you don't just shove people together. But also, when they are put together, you need to think about, like, making sure that they get their PPA time together. I'm not saying that we haven't. We definitely have. Like, our PPA is very consistent. They're very good.
Yeah.
But just generally speaking... Like making sure that they get that time together weekly is so important, isn't it? Because that's really when you're your working relationship develops and grows and you develop as teachers. And
yeah, definitely. It's that time away from the class where you can just relax.
Yeah.
And try and plan together.
To make the magic happen.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, someone's listening from Portugal. Hello.
Wow. Oh, I wish I was in Portugal.
Yeah. What's the weather like in Portugal? Oh, but it's nice. It's so rainy here. Well, actually, was today sunny?
The sun did come out today.
It was out today. I can't
tell. We had a good afternoon outside.
We did. Yeah, we pulled it out of the bag.
Yep, as always.
Oh, and another one in Portugal. Hi, Lucy. Lucy's in Portugal. And they said the weather's lovely.
Oh, hopefully it'll come. Oh, so warm today.
Oh, that's Julia and Lucy. Hello, Julia and Lucy. Thank you for tuning in and listening to us from Portugal. I wish we were there. So, Beth, it's nearly time to go to bed.
Thank you.
Any last thoughts on teacher partnerships?
I would just sum it up as be honest, let the other person in, just how we do with the children, really.
If you think, mate
relationships with children, you've got to do that with your partner teacher as well. Be vulnerable as well. That's another one of your favourite words.
Yeah, I do love that word.
Yeah, but it's so true. So true.
Vulnerable, compassion, understanding. Mm. That's actually a point that I was going to make earlier, that I always try and do this with all of my colleagues, but in particular with my partner teacher, is when you feel irritated or upset by something they've done, is to think about the reasons behind it
and think about
what's going on for them and just... Don't say anything in that moment when it's height. Like, sit on it and just think, how can I show love to this moment? Like, how can I bring love to this moment and understanding and compassion? And it doesn't always deliver because we're human and, you know, that happens. But, yeah, I feel, you know, love, compassion, understanding and vulnerability are key, aren't they?
Yeah, totally. And I really appreciate all that you do for me.
And I will be buying Beth a coffee and a cake to say thank you for joining me tonight. And thank you to everyone that's listened. And thank you to the lovely Lucy who was supporting me tonight with all the tech issues. Lucy, I am forever indebted. Thank you so much. So, yeah, I will see you tomorrow, Beth.
Yep, see you bright and early. Not too early, but can't wait.
We'll do a late.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
See you later.
Sleep well, bye
everybody. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live and listen back at ttradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you next time on Teachers Talk Radio.